Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Queen's Table Podcast. I'm your host, Marissa J, and today I'm a little bit late coming out with this episode because when I saw that Candace Owens was on the Breakfast Club this morning, I scrapped the old episode and we just gonna have to, cause what the fuck? Okay. There is so much to unpack from that episode. I would highly suggest that you go and check that interview out. If you listen to Power 105, find that on iHeartRadio. It's on YouTube. I'll leave it in the description. I'll leave a link in the description because there is just so much to unpack there. Now, I've spoken about Candace Owens on this show before. And sometimes I've spoken highly of her, more times than not, I've spoken pretty ill of her. The thing about it is Candace Owens is very smart, and she knows how to make money, and she knows where to move in order to be placed in a certain position to capitalize on some more money. You know, she was very open about her liberalism when she was younger, but there was a lot that was discussed in this interview, a whole lot, but there are two major things that I wanted to break down and pull apart from this interview. She was speaking about Joe Biden and Donald Trump, because Charlamagne had asked her, which, you know, who are you leaning towards? Obviously, she's going to say Donald Trump. She's a conservative. If you don't know who Candace Owens is, she's a conservative black woman that says a lot of wild and crazy things sometimes. Now, a lot of what she has said in the past, it has been kind of misconstrued, and you know, I spoke about the revolt episode. Shit, that had to have been years ago that I spoke about that on this podcast, but it was a very interesting episode or roundtable that they had, and she spoke on that. And those are really, really awesome things. And Charlamagne asked her how she felt about this presidential election. Obviously, she's going to say Donald Trump. But she goes on and starts picking apart Joe Biden and how he's too old and how he reminds her of her grandfather when he was going through dementia. Just a lot of things. So my thing is I don't know why she would go so hard in on Joe Biden without bringing up the fact that Donald Trump has some of the same kind of forgetfulness, and I'm just going to make up a word here on the spot, and, you know, flippantness to completely act like that never happens with Donald Trump. That was very disingenuous. And I did not appreciate that at all. The thing about Candace Owens is that I feel in some ways, not in all ways, but in some ways she's a grifter. And, you know, she just has better PR training than most. And she knows how to navigate around certain questions. The thing with the Breakfast Club is, you know, it was Charlamagne, Jess Hilarious, and Envy. But there was no Tez. Tez will push back. Tez will push the fuck back. She will push back on everybody. Conservative, liberal, she'll push back on whoever. She don't care. And that's kind of what I wanted. So I was kind of shocked to see that she wasn't on there, but not so much, because I have been seeing Charlamagne leaning pretty conservatively here over the last couple of years. And it's funny to me to see. It's hilarious to me because it's like all these issues, You know what I mean? But like, I like to see people switching sides like that because it expands your brain power. It enlightens you in when you can see, okay, I see where you're coming from and I see how you got there, but through learned and lived experiences, I've gotten to this place. You will eventually. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying like everybody turns conservative, but the older that you get, as you become an adult, you start realizing that certain ideologies that you may have had when you were younger don't necessarily apply to your everyday life right now. That's all I'm saying. But I just felt that was really disingenuous that she didn't bring up, anything about with Donald Trump and him being as old as he is and him also losing his faculties. I don't think not neither one of them motherfuckers need to be running. Running where? Running to a nursing home? Sure. Walk. Matter of fact, have a seat. Let's roll you on in there, buddy. I don't know. I did not like that type of response. But then there's the other thing. This is the major thing. This is the big one. Okay. So Candace Owens is married to a white man and they have three kids together. And that's great and that's awesome. Cool. Fine. Fuck it. Whatever. If you listen to me, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck what you do. You know what I mean? But she came in out the gate, pretty early on in the interview talking about basically the black nuclear family and how she's easier on men because she feels as though men don't have a particular outlet. And, and I do agree with that to a degree. To a degree. Men do need to have a safe space. I don't think that it's a woman's place to say or conduct any type of, softness towards that. Y'all gotta do your own shit. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing our thing. Y'all gotta do your own thing. You know what I mean? But that's neither here nor there. She talks a lot about the black nuclear family and how Lyndon B. Johnson did a switchfoot. And it was a very interesting conversation. It was very interesting, but she basically was talking about how the black man has been taken out of homes, out of black homes. And she was spitting some truth, and it's funny because like her and Dr. Umar, which we'll get to that in a second, but her and Dr. Umar both, they'll do this. They'll throw out so much truth and then throw a wrench in there, and then you like, wait a minute, but now I'm turned around. Like, if you really listen to what the fuck they say, they do speak a lot of truth. It's a lot how a lot of these grifters are. You do have to throw out there an amount of truth. And yes, that is true. The black man has been taken out of homes for a very long fucking time. All right, I get that. But also at the same time, and again, love who you love. Love who the fuck you love. But you're married and have a mixed race family. You don't have a black family. I know that's super fucked up to say. I know that sounds so fucked up, but give me a minute. Let me cook. All right. You don't have a black family. Your children don't have a black father. And there are certain things that black fathers can do for their children that white fathers aren't even aware of. And vice versa. If you want to be real about it, like vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, from a cultural aspect, and yeah, we're America. This is a melting pot. Like, there's nothing, I don't want to come off as, oh, she married that white man. My oldest son is mixed. the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to come off like that. I'm just saying, you don't have a black family, so why do you have so much to say about the black nuclear family? You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately, my oldest son, you know, his father was never even around. So he's never really been a part of that side of his family. He's always ever known, like, my dad, my brother, my cousins, you know, like, he's had some sort of black role model in his life, but that doesn't replace a father. I'm, you know, if you want to be realistic about it, let's get real. He doesn't have a black father. So there are certain experiences that he's missing out on. Now, I'm not saying that just because your child doesn't have a father, you know, in present in his life, or daughter, whatever, just because that's not a thing doesn't mean that your kids aren't black. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying, if you have so much to talk about the black nuclear family, meaning a mama and a daddy and the babies, okay? That's what a nuclear family is. When you're talking about a whole family and how wrong it is for systematically for years that the black man has been taken out of the home and this, that, and the third, and blase, blase, whoop-de-woo, woo, that's great. That's wonderful. That's true. But also at the same time, why aren't you telling me to do something that you're not finna do? So they finally push back and they asked her about it. And she talks about why her husband white, which first of all, like, that's a wild to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you going to ask me about my personal shit? I understand it, because if you have so much to say, then you probably should be explaining why is it that you're not in that same position. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I get where the question is coming from. But at the same time, it's still a wild ass question. Why do you love who you love? Nigga, what? Make that shit make sense. It doesn't make any sense. But she goes on to talk about how she's got a very high IQ and her brain just works a certain type of way. And this eventually alludes to, can't nobody keep her up with her super smart, fast-paced brain but a white man. That's how it's, there was no other like clear segue. Like, you start off talking about why your husband white, and then you move on to this IQ thing, and it's like, wait a minute, hold up. Are you inferring that black people don't have high IQ? The fuck are you talking about? Because she's over here really talking about, oh, I came from a black man and I have black granddaddy and black. First of all, lady, you're not even ADOS. So your experiences are quite different. You're not ADOS. You're like first generation. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it is what it is. So after this came on, I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to go ahead, hop on the pod, get the mic out. Let's go. But then I get a notification that Dr. Boyce Watkins done went live. Oh, shit. And, you know, he's like a financial expert guy, right? Definitely check him out. He's got some really, really, really wise things to pass along. But he was talking about this, the first 20, 30-ish minutes of his live. Definitely check that out. I'm gonna leave a link in the description. And he was talking about the whole, because Charlamagne brought up a point of, you know, well, it's not a good thing. It's not a good look for you because generational wealth. You know, you're fucking up the system of generational wealth that should belong with the Black community. Like, this is part of the financial side that we talk about a lot. So she is great at deflecting questions. She's really wonderful at that. And what's super sad is that neither DJ Envy or Charlamagne Tha God are well versed enough to give her any type of pushback or to ask her a particular type of question that'll force her hand in answering directly. And just hilarious, I absolutely love that addition to the Breakfast Club, but she's even less educated politically than Charlamagne and Envy. So it's not like they were giving the right amount of pushback. Like, I don't know. It was a whole thing. But going back to Dr. Boyce Watkins, he made this really good analogy about, you know, how he was like grade A student all through high school, all through college. He gets to grad school. They tell him, yo, this ain't like how it's going to be. Like, I can't tell you how hard this shit is. You just have to go through it. He's like, man, fuck it, whatever. I'm good. You know, like, I'm smart. I can do it. And he was like, it was a completely different world. And that he can't even explain it. It's just something that you have to go through. Now, it was a really good analogy. Not everybody can resonate with that one. So I'm going to take something that might make a little bit more sense universally. So, y'all know I don't give relationship advice because I don't, that's not my forte, it's not my cup of tea, it's not my area, so I don't do it. I'm real bad at relationships, real bad, so I don't need to be telling nobody nothing. But one thing that I do take into consideration if I were to get into a serious relationship with anybody is age. Now, I understand. A lot of people can be very young and have a very mature, I guess, spirit about them. I know several. And to be honest, these last several years, like, kids have kind of had to grow up a little bit fast any damn way. So, like, I'm not saying that it's not, you know, oh, you're not mature enough. That's not the deal breaker. The deal breaker is the experience. Okay. Super personal story time, super quick. From age 19 to 29, I had been diagnosed with cancer. I was told I could never have kids. I was given a 2-year life sentence. And by the time I was 29, cancer-free, 4 kids, and a single mom. I went through so fucking much in those 10 years. That experience is what I'm grading, what I'm judging on. Not necessarily age, because I feel like younger people are immature. It's not that. It's experience, lived experience. So I can't tell a 20-year-old at my very big age, I can't tell a 20-year-old what it's like to be my age, because you just have to live through some shit. You know what I mean? In order to understand it, in order to get it. So by Candace Owens talking so much, very loudly, very vocally, very truthfully, but very vocally about the black nuclear family, but she's not willing to be a part of one? Ah. That's that wrench I was talking about. She talks a lot of good shit, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you don't have any experience with the black nuclear family, why do you have anything to say about it? Why would you tell me to do something that you won't do yourself? He said another thing, your actions are speaking louder than your words. And oh my God, that is so true. Your actions are speaking louder than your words. I can't even hear your words because of your actions. That's what I go based off of. You tell me you want away 5 different times, and every single time it takes you 2 hours to get from across town, I'm gonna not believe you when you say you on the way. I'm just going to assume that you're lying again because your actions are speaking louder than your words. I can't hear your word. I can't hear your words. So I'm neither, you know, on, it's not a conversation in which you can say, oh, okay, I'm going to pick this side or that side. It involves some serious, in-depth thinking, debate, conversation. And I'm glad that it was that I'm glad that she went on the Breakfast Club because she's always been very open to going wherever. She'll go where the fuck ever, whoever invites her. But whoever invites her needs to know, don't fucking play with her. Because she said amazing PR training. She will run circles around you. Absolute circles. And I think that they knew not to play with her because they knew that they weren't as educated politically to go up against her like that. But I'll wrap this little episode up with this. At the end of the Breakfast Club interview with Candace Owens, they played this little game. I guess, how black are you? I don't know. And they were asking her a whole bunch of black ass questions. And it's just kind of like, I've been in that position before, being surrounded by a lot of black folks who were questioning my blackness. We always talk about these dog whistles that white folks use on us. And it's like, oh, well, I didn't say this. I said this, you know, like, and it's like, but nigga, you know what the fuck you meant when you said that, the fuck, you know what I mean? Why the fuck you gonna call the one black person in here a monkey? Like, you know what the fuck you doing, you know? But we don't talk a whole lot about the dog whistle antics that we do on our own. Why would you do that? Why would you get on there and question this woman's blackness like that? Whether you like her or you hate her, she's fucking black. Whether you want to consider her an Uncle Tom or a Sambo, she's black at the end of the day. You buck with her on so many different other topics. There were so many things that they could have, if they had just done a little bit of fucking research, there was so much shit that they could have pushed back. When she was talking circles around them and completely abandoned the whole, you know, generational wealth thing with black nuclear families, if they had done some more research, it, like Dr. Boyce Watkins, and he didn't have to do no research because he's very smart and he already knew this shit. But there is a movie, it's on Netflix, it's called Killers of the Flower Moon, and it is about the Osage tribe, which is a very real thing that happened here in America. And this tribe, it turned out that they were very fucking wealthy. Why? Because it was discovered oil on their land. And so they were incredibly fucking rich. So now what happened? A lot of these white settlers came in and started marrying up all these Osage girls. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, these Osage girls was dying. And guess what? There was some that was plotting to kill off the babies too. Why? So that way, that man can get up that fucking inheritance. Whole trial about it and everything. So you can't sit here and say that marriage has absolutely nothing to do with generational wealth, with wealth building. It does, has everything to do with it. Definitely check out his live on that because it is very, very interesting. Very fucking, I mean, he went so deep with the shit. So you can't ignore the fact that, yeah, it has something to do with it. You know, me personally, I don't think that marriage should have anything to do with love. That's silly. That's stupid. It's dumb. You gonna get married for love? Love is a feeling. Love is an emotion. Emotions are fleeting. Emotions are fleeting. You're gonna get married based off of an emotion? That would be the same as saying, I'm gonna kill this person because I'm mad. What? No. No. You have to think about that. You've got to think about who is going to get your money when you die. Whose money are you getting when somebody else dies? And is anybody going to come up and try to take it from you? These are things that you have to really think about. Yes, we are here on this earth for a finite amount of time. But if you are at all concerned with your legacy, you've got to start preparing before creating that legacy. And if the legacy is already here, get to work on figuring it the fuck out. Now, again, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, you do what you do. Whoever you end up in love with, that's who you in love with. It is what it is. And I would never, you know, I would never suggest otherwise. Be who you want to be with, because it's your life. It's not mine. I don't have to live your life. And you don't, guess what? You don't got to live mine. So it really in the fuck doesn't matter. But just like a celebrity, when a celebrity is going through some shit and, you know, all their personal business gets put out there for the whole world to see, it's kind of like, yes, fucked up. But at the same time, when you made the decision to become a celebrity, you also made the decision to have your life under a fucking microscope. And so when shit pops off, although it wouldn't be appropriate for the everyday person to have to explain some shit, you put yourself in the limelight. You want me to listen to what you got to say. So if you can't uphold that, then why the fuck am I listening to you? That don't make no fucking sense. I don't know. Whatever. Watch that episode or that interview on The Breakfast Club. Watch Dr. Boyce Watkins. Hop on YouTube, or not YouTube, Netflix. Watch Killers of the Flower Moon. That's it for me, y'all. Bye.